All right, we're going to record something quickly since everyone's on time constraint, it seems. But
all right,
this is a bigger one later.
This is Joseph Blanchett.
And this is Casey McDonald.
Oh. And
this is Mark Schneider.
Okay, usually I introduce people. This is weird.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're ruining. You're ruining the podcast formula. But
it's new and exciting.
I just wanted to get everyone's thoughts about the movie we released last night, the pilot episode of Wonders of the Universe.
Well, you guys know my stance on it. I think that it's great. I think that since the beginning, this is probably like one of the best things we've started to work on. It has probably the most potential so far.
Has good room for expansion. Has a very good. All the components seem to work together. Even if somebody doesn't like, maybe someone doesn't like tween animations or doesn't like the art or anything like that, they would still be able to admit that it all blends together very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, there's actually been a couple of reviews of people saying that, like, you know, oh, I don't like the simple cartoony art style, but everything was under the simple cartoony art style, so it all fit together, and I don't know what to think. 10 here to have the 10. I have to go rethink my life, you know.
Yeah, as of this recording, we haven't really had any bad reviews. We had some mild to mid-range scoring, but even then they said, I didn't like it, but you got potential.
Have you any zeros that have said, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, why are you guys making movies, you should just jump off a cliff?
No, it's kind of boring,
yet.
Actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's been less than 24 hours. Well, it's been a little over 24 hours, I guess. I think what I agree with you guys is this series has potential. And if you listening haven't seen it yet, you can go to ToonWorks with an E, .newgrounds, .com and watch the pilot episode of Wonders of the Universe, and it's a sci-fi comedy that takes place on a cruise ship, and the pilot is exactly that. It's a kind of an introduction to the world. It introduces a couple of the characters.
It's a cruise ship in space.
It's a sci-fi series that just takes place on a cruise ship on Earth. It's very exciting.
It's actual science where they're doing oceanography.
See, it takes place in the 1800s, so...
Yeah.
But it looks modern, so it's science fiction. Okay,
whatever. Yeah. It takes place at night, so that's why you see stars everywhere.
Yep. And this pilot episode introduces... it opens up with a commercial, which we wanted to introduce this universe, but in, like, a fun way. And I was always a fan of those old, like, World War II eras, like, support our troops in the other side of the world! All that stuff, so I wanted to do something like that. I think that was my idea.
I'm going to contest you on that. I think it was all of us. The inspiration came from Futurama, and everybody knows Futurama, another sci-fi thing, so we're going to draw heavily from that. But they did that in a similar type of thing in a couple episodes, particularly 300 Big Boys. Where they actually did a support your troops type thing.
I liked that thing from, because you see a lot of that in every single, like, Pixar movie that Brad Bird works on so far starts out with something like that. Like, Ratatouille has a commercial at the beginning.
Yeah.
The Incredibles has the interview with, you know, the Incredibles. And I for some reason, have always really liked that. I think it's a really good way to introduce things. And some people obviously don't. Like, we actually have a couple of reviews of people saying, like, I almost shut this off, but then I didn't, you know. And, like...
Which I was surprised at that, too, because I thought it was, like, the best... written part of it was that ad.
Well, that's what we showed the voice actors.
Yeah.
Well, we don't really have much to show, obviously, because they don't have voices, but we do have this. And we showed them the old, like, 1940 ad, and they were like, oh, this sounds great. I'm on board.
Remember, if you want good voice actors, do something that's reminiscent of the 1940s.
Uh-huh. Original guys.
So maybe the novelty of it kind of flew over some people's heads or something.
Because reading
some of the reviews, the ones that, like, the biggest reviews, like the ones that have, like, the most detail to them on Newgrounds anyway, have a lot to talk about. Like, for example, people said that they didn't really find it They thought it was like kind of predictable or whatever. They didn't think it was that funny, you know. But a lot of them admitted, like, well, this is just a pilot too. You know, you got to introduce everything. So
yeah, like that's what I wanted. I wanted to stress to people that even we agree that just as a standalone thing, if we never did another one of these, like this cartoon's pointless. But we plan to keep on going with it, and we actually kind of learned about how to do that better because of making this pilot episode.
The point of this episode is to establish the universe, establish the plight of the characters, which is the humans don't like their jobs, and we sort of get that across.
Yeah.
And then as well as introduce the main characters that the audience can identify with, and that's going to be the straight man characters, which are Quinn, Quasar, and Nova Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So the only comic relief, even though we have so many other characters in here, some of them are hinted in the ad itself, we started with 2/3 of the main characters are straight man, non-comic relief.
Yeah. And I was talking to Casey before we started recording that one of the reviews complains, like, oh, I knew that the guy character was instantly going to fall in love with Nova. And I got to thinking, well, it's a good thing we got that out of the way right at the beginning so we don't have to build up to it later. You know?
Yeah.
That's actually one of the things in this is that we can't really spend a lot of time. Like, one of the rules we have to writing episodes of Wonders is we don't use any ands when we're pitching the idea. Like, if we have to say, well, I think one of the original news for the first episode, or at least this episode, because I don't think this was always the first episode, but one of them was like, you know, Quentin Quasar meets Nova Jones and, like, builds a robot or whatever, or and this other thing happens, you know, and it'll all work. And I was like, well, you know, now that I think about it, if we want to keep these episodes, like, really short and concise, like, I don't think we can have that. It's going to have to just be, like, the one idea. And I think, like, this first episode, for example, was based completely around the joke that, you know, Quentin's just like, hey, who's that over there? Well, she's pretty hot, you know, and then the STFU is just like, let me go check, and it's bloop, and then comes back, and he's like, what did you do, you know, like that, then we just, like, that was kind of funny, and we based, like, an entire episode around that.
Yeah, this was one of our original ideas, like, what if the computer is giving, like, a dating advice to another character?
Yeah.
I don't remember what our original first episode was.
It was building the robot.
Yeah.
A robot that won't be introduced until,
Episode 2 or 3, depending on
probably
how you write it.
Yeah, probably 3, more than likely.
Yeah.
And, like, we were trying to figure out, it's like, we were just going to say, well, let's not really introduce anything, let's just go right into Quentin building this robot to help with his duties. But then we're thinking, well, it's like, well, then we have to explain what this universe is, and that's where the ad came in. And then that ad didn't really flow into Quentin building a robot. Afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, but
it does easily flow into the first day, because if you notice, it's him watching, there's a brief clip, you might miss it, but he's watching the ad when he's riding the elevator at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Should we explain how this, like, what the original intention of this series was, or do you think people care?
I'm starting back in 2006, I believe.
Well, originally, like, if you want to know the whole history of this thing, it started back when, like, I think I just met Joseph Blanchett a long time ago. This is, like, when World of Warcraft first came out, so this is, like, a good 6-7 years ago. And I had the idea to make a sci-fi movie, like a full-length, you know, thing. And I was actually getting together with Luke Deora about it, and like, I think I might still have the little trailer for it on Cheesy Art. I'm not sure.
I might have it. I think I have a copy of it somewhere.
But
the idea
originally was I wanted to make a sci-fi about a you know, like there's like a kind of like a Star Wars-esque like space saga, only it's centered around a janitor that worked on one of the battle cruisers.
And then I stepped in and told him, "Hey, that's great,
like,
except Space Quest did it."
Yeah, then I was just like, oh, like, okay. But, like, eventually we came up with we started Toonworks up and everything else, and we still had this idea on the back burner, and I was just like, well, why don't we work on this? Well, because Mark wanted to do something, and we actually had a lot of arguments about, like, what this whole thing should be about. Like, and it was Joseph in the end that came along and said, like, why don't we just make a bunch of really short episodes? And I was like, that's a stupid idea. And I was watching some stuff on Newgrounds, like, I think Edible Castle. And I was like, huh, these are
really
short episodes.
That's a great idea.
And they're like, they're just centered around kind of like one joke each, and they're pretty good, you know. And then I was like, wait, this is what Joseph was talking about, you know.
Well,
so came back.
Well, plus we just released Legends, the first act of Legends of the Black Book, and we were like, oh, it's like, what about that space series? It was basically like the same premise. It was just in outer space. It's like like two friends or enemies go on a space adventure to find a thing. And that's what Legends of the Black Book was. And like, we had started on part two of that. But I think Mark just wanted a break at that point. So I've been working in this forest for a long time. Let's work on the sci-fi thing. And then they started talking about, like, you guys started talking about this, like, epic space adventure. And, like, I thought it was cool, but I said, listen, tone it down a bit. Like, if we do this, we're going to release one episode, and then it's going to be another 9 months to a year before we do anything else, because these things take so long to make.
Yeah.
And we actually spent...
We luckily cut that in half by only doing a pilot episode, ironically.
Ironically. we actually shifted focus from Legends to Wonders for a long time, actually, like, just... coming up with our ideas first before we commit anything to animation. And Casey said before, maybe off the podcast, but he was saying we have a bunch of ideas, at least for like premises for episodes that could be expanded into up to 1-2 minutes or like up to 5 if we needed to.
Most importantly is that we, rather than just jumping into the universe and, you know, animating just a bunch of characters, we actually thought out our characters. Visuals of the characters. All of our major characters and even some of the supporting ones have conflict based on the premise of just working on a cruise ship when everybody else on the cruise ship is having fun in space.
Yeah, and the show really isn't going to focus at all with the crew, with the passengers. Although I'm sure we'll have them in there at some point. But yeah, this is all about the crew and about how mostly the humans just hate their job. And just kind of like the goofy alien, like, crew. Not really goofy, but we have a lot of colorful characters, I think, for the crew.
Well, literally, some of them are blue.
Some of them are blue.
Well, the whole idea is that, like... you know, most people in the world, not everybody, but a lot of people have pretty mundane jobs that they just really don't like. Like, for example, you know, as a day job, I work at a grocery store. And you've got, I think Mark does programming or something. I don't know what it is.
Somewhat,
you do.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you
software
know.
Software engineering.
Yeah, but I mean, like, pretty much everyone, you know, is used to working in a place that they're just like, I just wish I could go home, you know, and you know, deal with customers and everything else. And it was like, I really like that, taking that into a premise of making something about a cruise ship, because I can't even imagine working on a cruise ship, for one, and like the crazy things you'd have to deal with, you know, and then putting it in space, so you got like a Star Trek kind of throw on it as well. And like, for example, that's mostly what the STFU, like the computer that this episode is based on, is dealing with service technology that just never quite does what you want it to do, you know? Like, for example, you've got, like, it, you know, if you go to the store, you usually have those, like, self-service, like, checkout units, you know? And, like, I deal with those a lot. Like, I usually run that whole, like, system whenever I'm at work. And it's just, like, the same thing. Like, it's, you know, I was like, please put the item in the bag. It's like, you appear to be not putting the item in the bag. And it's just like, shut up! You know? And there's...
are you sure you want to bag this item?
Yeah.
someone actually left a review. They thought it was like they felt the character was like paperclippy from that annoying paperclip that everybody wants to kill that used to be on Microsoft Word. Way back in the day.
That was where some of the inspiration for that actually came. Like, just looking at the idea of that thing, like we pulled a lot from things like pop up ads and you know, like just mathematical Google looking up systems. I don't know what to call call it, but that's basically what it's based on, you know, is computer systems.
Yeah.
And so that computer is the ship's computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We didn't really announce it in the first episode because we have some jokes planned around that.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this, sorry, we ruined episode two for you.
We spoiled it. It might not be till episode three or something. We'll get there. But
so you'll forget about it by then.
But yeah, like, now that thing is the ship's computer. It handles all of the autopilot and everything else.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But he likes to focus his attention on the mundane happenings of the crew around him because he finds it fascinating.
Yeah, like in this first episode, he's just kind of observing Quentin trying to hit on Nova, and he's
like,
trying to help out.
It's like, oh, I have a vast database of human mating, mating patterns. I can help out with this.
You appear to be hitting on a girl. Would you like aid with that?
So that's the on the pilot episode. Introduces Nova, Quentin, and Stufu.
The STFU-9000.
STF. Do we know what that stands for yet? Because I have a couple of
We come up with something different, like, every other week.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the science and technology.
We know what it stands for, but we're coming up with our own abbreviation.
Chris Bowe came up with a good one. Let me see if I can bring it up real quick. He called it the statistically true and factual unit. I thought that was pretty good.
I like that one. Write that down.
Yeah, I did.
We'll add it to the list of things that it might stand for.
I had the scientific, technical, futuristic unit. That didn't really make sense as a name of something.
There's a lot of that in this, though. It kind of reminds me of Portal. Like, we had that one skit that Edwin voiced that we're probably going to change because it's too long. But, like, where one of the characters is, like, you know, a fluid supervisory technical data assistor or whatever. It's just like, it's like, what? What do you do?
Edwin is the, he voices the SDMU.
Yeah.
And he did a really good job. He did a whole bunch of different takes with a whole bunch of different items for each of the, when we call them database words, it's basically where he shouts out like he doesn't know the meeting, which again, we kind of were inspired by Futurama. Lucy Lubot episode.
Actually, I'm trying to think of where the first inspiration is, because this is really me because I have a problem with coming up with an idea, and it turns out it's already been done.
Yeah, and you're not ripping it off, it's just coincidence.
Yeah, like, because I remember I thought that up originally when I was writing the character, and I was like, no, this will be hilarious, and you guys are just like, I don't understand. And I was like, no, like, he'll just be, like, constantly shouting everything, because he doesn't understand. It's rude, you know, and you guys are just like, ah, this character sounds, actually, don't we have, like, a big problem with that? Like, that was, like, one of the bigger hurdles we came over, that, like, we were afraid of the SDFU being really annoying.
We were trying to balance out how often, like, we originally were going to have him, like, either mess up human, or have human, every time he says human, as a, use it as a database word, but he says it, like, 4 or 5 times in the episode, so we were like, we have to cut this down, this is annoying.
We also came to the conclusion that, like, when listening to him, it didn't make much sense. Like, is a joke? You had to imagine every single one of his lines is, like, an individual joke, and the punchline had to be, you know, like, basically, like, the word he shouts out. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of places where he'd be talking, and he'd just, like, I think he'd say, like, human in the middle of a sentence, and it would completely break the flow. Like, if he just goes, human! Like, you're, like, trying to listen to him, and you're just like, ah, you know. But, like, if it always came, like, at the end of what he, or the beginning of what he was saying, like, it would not usually catch you off guard, but it usually seemed to flow better and was usually funnier, too.
Yeah, and, like, we had him, whenever he pulled out, like, a database word, it was, like, a really low and gravelly robotic voice, but, in the end, we chose something like a higher pitched that wasn't as threatening or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll actually have a little mini episode that'll come out. In the next week or so, but then I remember Robot Day is in a couple weeks on Newgrounds.
Because Mark has got Mark here is going on a vacation or something, so we won't be able to animate anything unless I do it or something. Because I was thinking we have another idea for another short that we could do and release that maybe in the next couple of weeks or something. But you're not going to be here.
Yeah, unfortunately. Give it to Chris Bell.
That's true. I guess we could.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've been talking about. And I imagine it'll take longer than a few weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, you know, like, we could get something going. I don't know, because we already have a lot of art done, is the thing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I guess it just depends. We'll just see what we can come up with. It depends on how fast I can write it, too, because...
Yeah. I mean...
In episode two, I'm sure it'll probably be, like, maybe a month or whatever, but, I mean, what we have ideas for shorts. The other problem, too, is we really do want to go back to Legends of the Black Book Part 2.
Right,
but we're, like, trying to find time where we can do it. Because, like, I know I've said it before, but I really feel that, like, in the end, like, we get Legends of the Black Book done, and we will, and then we have Wonders kind of running alongside it, people will probably remember us for Wonders rather than Legends, just because the writing is better, the art is better, the story is better, you know.
And whose fault is that?
You know what, that's actually kind of mine. I mean, like, I have to admit. Well, when I showed Legends to my parents, I remember they said, like, well, the animation of this is really good, Casey. Good job. The storyline is kind of black. I didn't animate it. I wrote this.
The art is good. The animation is good. The writing could use some work. And that's all. It's like, we knew that. Like,
yeah.
Like, when we released it, but I mean, what are we going to do? Not release it?
Well,
the other thing too about Legends is that, I mean, it's based on another idea I had that was never really fleshed out to begin with, anyway.
Yeah.
Like, the reason we did Legends is because, you know, when we got together as Toonworks, we weren't really sure what to start with. You know, we didn't want to jump anything that was going to be too difficult. We wanted something that was already kind of grounded in our minds. And, you know, Legends is pretty much the only option because it was something that, like, I had already made and we could just go remake, you know? And we actually learned a lot from Legends, too, so it's not like we just wasted our time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of there. We gotta fix it.
Oh, I don't think we need to fix it. I just think that when we continue, we have to make it more of a quality that we expect from ourselves, at least from... Hate to say it, the writing board point of view.
Yeah,
so I think everything else was so, just so fantastic, except for the writing.
we have the animatic for part two.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's been written, it's been voiced, and we have it there that we've watched it before. And it actually flows a lot better than the first one. Like it is actually an improvement. So it's just that like. You know, we were taking a break from fantasy to work on sci-fi. And
that, it's really up to Mark whenever he wants to work on that again. We'll do that. Like, I don't know how, if he wants to get right into episode two of Wonders or if he wants to work on Legends for a little bit. We'll have to
we'll see what goes on after the,
I feel like,
after my trip.
I feel like we're kind of trapped by Wonders now, though, too, because at the same time, I showed it to a lot of my coworkers and friends and stuff, and everyone's just like, dude, you should get one of these out, like, every other week. And I was like, I don't know about that, but maybe after a while we get a lot more of the art done, we can do something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and the other thing, too, since Wonders is much deeper, like, I think it would be better if we did try to, like, get something out, like, every month or something.
Every,
you know?
Well, it depends on how detailed we make the episode. Like, we have that, like, 1-minute-long episode that, we animated really before we started animating the main one. And that took it took overall about 2 weeks.
It took about a week.
Yeah,
I finished animation in, I think, a week working like straight on it after work.
Yeah.
And not really doing anything else.
Yeah, and like there were some hang-ups and stuff. But yeah,
yeah.
Like, we animated that really fast.
We're waiting on one more background from somebody because he needed to do 3 backgrounds but couldn't find the time to do the 3rd one yet.
Yeah, that jerk.
So what we want to do, which we were going to do with Legends, but it failed miserably, is we want to put out these short little episodes in between the main ones to just kind of do some jokes that won't really fit into an episode proper or like ideas that just wouldn't fit.
This one that we're going to put out very soon was actually completely ad-libbed by Edwin, our voice actor, based on a voice test that we did. We loved it so much, we just wanted to animate it. Because it flows really well, and it was just perfect idea. And so I think, actually, I'm afraid that it's a lot funnier than our pilot episode.
Well, it's a lot funnier in the sense that the entire skit...
He wrote it.
Well, the entire skit is based on, like, comedy. Like, like our actual movie, it's like, we want it to be funny, but we're not here to, like, give you a laugh every 20 seconds or whatever.
That's actually something I actually we didn't really bring up yet about Wonders is that it's, you know, like, it's a comedy. There's jokes there. It's a funny setting. But I think that that's something else, too, that kind of throws people off, is that you look at it and you think, oh, this is going to just be a funny cartoon. And actually, there is a lot of emotion in it. I remember when I first watched it, and we'd actually intended this, but I didn't expect it. And you have the scene where Quentin is rejected by Nova, and he's just like, oh, okay. You know, and he actually seems sad. You know, there's an actual character there. Mm-hmm. And the pacing of the episode actually goes along kind of slow, and it's actually like that on purpose because we wanted to tell an actual story rather than just be like, oh, look, a bunch of slapstick comedy, you know, which is what most people do. And I think a lot of people look at that and they're not really expecting it, so they don't really know what to think. And that is kind of the direction we want to go with all the rest of the episodes, is even though that they might be kind of goofy or whatever, there's usually some kind of theme or moral driving all of them, you know?
Mm.
And I think that's actually a really good idea, even if people don't quite catch on to it right away. Because in the end, it'll make it better, you know, like it'll just be a much deeper series.
We also have, between the three of us, we do have a lot of the skills necessary to make something like this. And I've got primarily film, not training, but film studies. You guys have your own individual arts, writing and acting. I do want to point out that Joe Murray's book, Joe Murray, the Creator of Rocco, I bought his book, and that actually helped me kind of shape
some
of the
stuff. You
want
to be every other month. You're like, you need to read this, damn it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the whole reason we've got an antagonist now, because I read that book and said, you should have an antagonist in your cartoon. And I'm like, we don't have one. We
yes.
need one. Let's get one.
Episode 2, we'll have a foil to Quasar's happiness.
Yeah.
That hopefully we can introduce in a good way. We haven't really figured that out yet.
We have a lot of ideas. Like, the thing is, episode 2 is we have a lot of ideas. Like, we have, like, lots of different alternate ways that episode 2 can play out, and we're just not sure which is the best one to go with yet is the problem. Like, we're trying to introduce, like, a good 3 or 4 more characters that are involved with, like, basically the bridge, you know, like the captain
yeah.
and the security officers, stuff like that we're trying to introduce, because that's another very big necessary part of this if we want this all to work.
Yeah.
And the problem is that we're not sure how to do this in a concise method that's, you know,
yeah.
also going to drive an episode along. Because our original plan was, like, we were really forcing it, and I can't really give anything away about it, but it was like, you know, it's like, okay, well, now we got to go back to Quentin and have this happening, and oh, now we got to go back to the bridge, and then there's this, and, you know, like, it just felt really jumbled. So I was like, all right, let's just, we basically erased the whole episode and started over, and we got some pretty good ideas now, but, you know, like, we're just trying to come up with a good, solid one that'll actually work.
All right, so it's been almost a half hour. I know you guys are busy with other stuff, so, I hope everyone listening enjoyed the episode. We think it has a lot of potential, and we're going to do our best to make sure that we deliver the rest of that potential.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you have anything to say to any of us, you can always contact me at...
Go ahead.
You can always, PM... the Toonworks thing, like, don't feel afraid. We don't bite, we swear. But any kind of constructive criticism you can get, you can also get a hold of me personally at Gandoof the Wise on AIM. I'm on that thing almost all the time. It sounds kind of goofy. But yeah, Gandoof the Wise. And then, I don't know about these guys.
Well,
I don't know if they want to give out their names.
Oh, no.
You can
all your spam to Casey.
You can PM us on our Newgrounds accounts, and that would be
yeah.
the best place to send a criticism about the cartoon that you think's worthy of more than just a review. But
yeah,
send us ideas if you'd like us to, what you're expecting from the series, because
yeah.
We showed our trailer to people and they were really excited about it, and then they saw the first episode and they're like, yeah, it was good, but we were expecting kind of more.
Yeah,
and,
like,
which is fair criticism because we're, you know, doing the introductory episode. So, you know, if you have any suggestions, ideas, or just want to tell us what you think of it, just send someone a message.
And fan art.
And fan art. And money.
Money. Lots and lots of moolah. Alright, go watch the episode. Again, watch it 10
watch
times.
It. Find the secret scene.
Yeah, there's a secret scene that you've already seen if you watch the teaser on my DNR page, but yeah.
So if you can't find the secret scene, go watch the teaser.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little bit easier. Less time. All right, thanks guys.
Thanks everyone.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.